The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
KNUS Denver,
a Salem Media Group station.
This is Wake Up with Randy Corporan on News Talk 710 KNUS.
We're back, second hour of the show. So good to have you along as we broadcast live from CPAC 2020. What an exciting week it has been here. And it's clear to me that security is starting to lock things down as the crowds, the noise, the buzz is starting to quiet here in Radio Row. And that's what happened when the Vice President was here a couple of days ago as well. I stepped out of my cushy little seat in Media Row, front row seat, media section, to go to the bathroom about an hour and 10 or 20 minutes before the VP was scheduled, and he was late after that. And by the time I came out of the bathroom, a quick turnaround, the doors were locked and there was no getting back in. My computer was there the whole nine yards. So I am guessing I will miss the president on this particular visit because the show doesn't end until 2 o'clock DC time. He's scheduled to talk at 3. But I saw him last week when he was in Colorado, and it's so worth it to be out here speaking with you and talking to some great people. We've got a guest sitting with us that we'll go to in just a minute, but before we do that, somebody who apparently could not get in this morning, I've been so looking forward to being joined by Raheem Kassam from Breitbart fame, from Brexit fame, and from the election of Donald J. Trump, and I think he joins us by phone from outside the security section here at CPAC 2020. Raheem, do we have you?
Yes, you've got me loud and clear. It wasn't so much that that I couldn't get in, is that I resent having to sort of wait for so long to go through the lines. It never used to be like that. If you remember the CPACs of 10 years ago, it was a much simpler operation. So I think a lot of people have opted to stand on the outskirts for this one and maybe grab some lunch in the meantime. I know you've got a lot of international visitors here who have flights to catch later on in the day, and so there's somewhat of a party on the outside as well as on the inside.
Do you have a media pass?
No, I'm just a humble attendee. Boy, this year, Randy.
Next time, get the media credentials because it was a different line, and I was just whooshed through, and it made it very, very easy to get here. So
I will do that.
What you and Steve Bannon and others did, I guess I want to go all the way back to Brexit, then hit the Trump election, and now what you guys did with War Room impeachment and what you expect for 2020. But for folks who maybe aren't on Breitbart or aren't familiar with Raheem Kassam, give the quick synopsis of the impact you made in Great Britain before you came over here to start messing with our politics.
Well, I was Nigel Farage's senior advisor in 2014-15 and into 16. We were running, obviously, Breitbart London as well, which was the 13 strong team out there in London, really doing what the media was failing to do back then, which was report fairly and accurately on the Brexit phenomenon. Of course, early days, they were telling us this is a pipe dream, it's never going to happen, you guys are xenophobes, racist, conspiracy theorists. The country isn't with you, but sure enough, we had that referendum in 2016 nationwide, and we won, of course, by that magical number, 52-48%. And it's been a bumpy ride since 2016, but we were graced finally this year at the end of January to finally leave properly the European Union, and we'll get there and get ourselves out by the end of this year fully and properly.
How much of the success of Brexit do you attribute to the election of Donald Trump and this just this populist wave that we're seeing sweep across certain countries around the globe?
Well, I sort of struggle with it back and forth because while I think that Donald Trump is, of course, a change maker in and of himself. I think you have to look at the wider Western civilization approach to the globalist establishment. It was as if we all spoke up in unison across the Western world and said, enough is enough. The Afghanistan war, the Iraq war, we've had mass rape and grooming scandals in our quote-unquote multicultural neighborhoods across Britain, and people had finally stood up and paid attention to it and said, we've had enough. So we spoke with one voice, and of course, a lot of people I talk to here and at conferences like these, they say to me, look, we wouldn't have believed that something like this was possible going into November of 2016 had we not seen what you guys did in June of 2016. So I think there was a little bit of inspiration coming from the opposite side of the Atlantic, and I'm very pleased to have been a part of that. But also, you know, the deplorables en masse, you know, it's not to take away from any of the credit for the people out there in the ordinary citizens of the United States of America stood up and again in one voice, and I think they're shouting even louder in 2020, that we don't want a return to Bush. We don't want a return to Obama. We like what this president is doing. Look at the numbers he's presenting. Look at the economy. Look at everything that's taking place. And, of course, now we have this global pandemic on our hands, which we're also covering on the War Room environment. We have a War Room pandemic show for those who want the day-to-day updates of this. They're now trying to put this at the president's feet and say, oh, well, you know, he's unprepared. And he called it a hoax last night, the New Democrat hoax last night. He was absolutely right. Just like Russiagate, just like the Ukraine stuff and the impeachment hoax, this is another thing they're trying to do to stop this president in his tracks. And guess what? It's not going to work.
I believe it. The energy here, the number of young people, the folks from all different demographics, genders, gender types, people in transition. I mean, people are just here excited for the opportunity to continue what has certainly been the most successful presidency in my lifetime and maybe one of the most ever in the history of the country. And Raheem, since we've got you by phone and I've got somebody sitting here as well, I don't want to keep you too long. Let folks know.
By all means, the guests in person are the most important part of being a part of Radio Row, so don't feel like you have to defer to me.
Well, you're just outside the security line, so you're kind of in person. But it was really great to meet you yesterday, and tell people how they can connect with you and Steve Bannon and all the. I mean, you guys give the details, the nuance, the nitty-gritty day after day, whether it was on impeachment, now on the coronavirus and other political issues. How can people tag in with you guys?
Our catchphrase is unity and substance, drilling down into the detail, into the numbers, into the facts, the things that CNN and PBS and MSDNC and all these guys won't tell you. It's War Room 2020 on Twitter, War Room 2020, and the URL is warroom.org. Randy, I'm very, very grateful for you.
Hey, we'll do it again when we can really dig down. And Raheem, thank you so very, very much.
Thank you.
All right. Raheem Kassam, I'm always so bad with names if I don't have them written down. Morgan Zegers has just joined us. If you don't know her, you will very, very soon, and you want to. The founder of Young Americans Against Socialism. But before we bring her on board, I had a gentleman sitting here waiting, and he's running for the 8th Congressional District right here in Arlington, Alexandria, the area that we're very nearby across the Potomac in Maryland at the Gaylord Center right now. And I wanted to give him a couple minutes, and it especially ties into our listeners in Colorado, Hirok.
Yes, Hirok Christian Kim.
It ties in so well with Colorado because Colorado is the state where the Democrats' blueprint for taking over states, for taking over
yes.
legislatures, started in Colorado,
yes.
was implemented there about 14 years ago, been very, very effective. The second state that they targeted was your state, Virginia.
Yes.
And so it's so very important to have people now understanding what's going on, the mechanics of what's been done, so we can
right.
figure out ways to push back.
Right.
So talk a little bit about your campaign and what you've learned, why you can win in this Democrat-controlled environment now in Virginia.
Right. Dan Beyer, who's the Democrat incumbent, won over 70% of the votes last three election cycles. I believe that I could beat him because there are several issues that Americans everywhere, including Virginia, are concerned about. Rising health care costs. Obamacare is a burden, and Obamacare has raised premiums and deductibles for private insurances as well. What I'm proposing is implementing a system using the U.S. military and the Army National Guard to identify and remove 10 million illegals from the United States of America, send them back to their countries. That will free up billions of dollars per year so that our deductibles and our premiums will go down, and we can manage our health costs much more effectively. The plan that Democrats have will not work. Even Democrats don't think it will work, as we have heard from their debates criticizing each other. My plan would implement immigration policies that we need to make our country more secure. It will provide the funds needed in our healthcare system for American citizens. And it is a long-term viable plan, because once we deport and secure our borders, we will not have millions of illegals flowing into our country. That's going to be an additional burden to our healthcare problem.
Now, I'm staying in Virginia, in Old Town Alexandria.
Yes.
Such a beautiful community over there. But my understanding is it's very, very democratically controlled, especially in these areas that are close to D.C. and the swamp. So what kind of a response are you getting to a message like yours? Are you getting the hate? Are you getting the death threats? How are people reacting?
You know, you'd be surprised. I think most Republicans and conservatives in Virginia think that that's what they're going to get. I've been talking to Democrats on the street in pharmacies and stores, and they've been complaining to me about Obamacare, and they're looking for solutions. So when I tell them what I want to do, they actually want to go along with my program. Not only white Americans, but immigrants who came here legally, who have citizenship or green card now.
And have jobs and businesses
exactly.
of their own.
And they're worried about the rising cost because small businesses have to pay for their own insurance. Rising premiums and rising deductibles are very bad for mom and pop stores.
Sure.
So everybody wants something that I'm proposing. Right now, unfortunately, I'm the only Republican congressional candidate or Senate candidate that I know who's proposing to have as an official program utilization of U.S. military and Army National Guard along with ICE and Border Patrol to implement a systematic program to identify and relocate illegals back to their countries as a way to solve the health care crisis.
Well, Hirak, it's very appropriate to have you on, because the message I'm trying to give to Republicans running in our now very blue state, we had a blue wave in 2018 in Colorado.
That's unfortunate.
Is that there are so many people unaffiliated, maybe tired of the old Republican Party, maybe
right.
didn't have a taste for Trump initially until they saw his ability to perform for this
right.
country, that are ready for that kind of a message.
Oh,
and
definitely.
We need courageous Republicans
yes.
to go talk to those people
yes.
and to get those votes. So. Your website is Hirak, H-E-R-A-K for Congress.com, Hirak for Congress.com. Very glad to meet you here at CPAC. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me.
You better believe it. And Adam, what I'd like to do is we've got Morgan here, and let's go ahead and take our break now so we can have a good long segment. I know folks want to get inside and be ready for the president, so let's take our break now if we can. When we come back, we will be joined by the founder of Young Americans Against Socialism. She was a featured speaker here at CPAC. She's a powerhouse. You will enjoy her greatly. Morgan Zegers when we come back. It's Wake Up with Randy Corporan, 710 KNUS.
News Talk 710 KNUS, live from CPAC 2020, is presented by Bandamir Speedway, home of the Dodge Mile High NHRA Nationals, July 17th to July 19th. Go to Bandamir.com for tickets. Now, live from Washington, here's Randy Corcoran.
It's 1220 in National Harbor, Maryland, Gaylord National Resort and Convention Center, broadcasting live from CPAC. What a blast this has been. You can tell, though, that the president is coming, because all of the buzz is dying down. Everybody's trying to find a seat. We never know when they're going to lock the doors. Now, that didn't happen for the president's daughter, didn't happen for the Secretary of State. There were certainly Secret Service and bomb-sniffing dogs running around. But for the VP and the president, this place really becomes a safe zone. It's incredible. And before we bring on our next guest, so excited to have Morgan Zegers here. I'll tell you all about her in just a minute. But Mark Levin is on stage right now. Let's just dip into the CPAC live feed for just a moment.
Well, that could have been
certain billionaires.
That could have been one of your questions for him, right? Okay.
Well, the other thing I'd ask, Mike, are you 5'2 or 5'3? Everybody wants to know.
This is Mr. and Mrs. Levin, by the way.
Let's move to Mayor Pete.
Mayor Pete.
You can pronounce his last name. I know you can.
I'd say, and I speak as a hair-challenged American. What's with your hair? What is with that third grade
right,
thing you're doing like
down,
Chuck
Adam.
Todd? Honest to God.
I could listen to Mark Levin round the clock, but all of these, or so many of these speeches are available for you. They've been archived on YouTube, so if you didn't pay any attention to CPAC and you've gotten an interest from listening to the show or all of our broadcasts here on 710 CAN-US, be sure you check them out on CPAC. I was with Mark giving speeches on the west steps of the Capitol back in October, I think. It was a Tea Party rally, and I actually became his wingman. Because the one thing I'll tell you about Mark Levin is he does not like to talk or be bothered before he gives speeches. And I don't mean bothered like I'm just too cool for school, but he doesn't like to be bothered because he's in his head. He's working on his remarks. He never walks up with a script. And he just likes to be with his thoughts. And then after the speech, the people mob him and love him. And so I earned my stars that day by keeping people away from him until after he had spoken. But so great, all the people that have been here at CPAC. And nobody better than the founder of Young Americans Against Socialism, Morgan Zegers. Morgan, good morning.
Good morning.
It's afternoon here. I'm on Denver time still in my head. But you made it in. And you want to get in there for James O'Keefe here at the top of this hour. You think that's going to give you enough time to get in and see the president?
Absolutely. I have one more meeting at about 12:30, and so I'm going to do that quick. It's with the Epic Times. They're an awesome organization. And
I'm a subscriber.
Partner with what we're doing.
Yeah,
because we're working to expose socialism. They do a lot with the Chinese Communist Party, trying to expose them and hold them accountable. And then I'll get in and see James. He's going to do a great pitch to all the insiders out there and try to get them to come out.
I was telling you while we were on the break about my experiences with James and what was her name again?
Hannah Giles.
Hannah Giles, yeah. Her father's become a guest on our radio show for firearms. Her sister's become a guest. She was the one who played the hooker when they took out the Acorn organization. Just brilliant, brilliant work. And, you know, I'm a 60-year-old, so he's a young guy from my perspective. You are an incredibly young person from my perspective. And the thing I've loved about this CPAC, it's only my first, but there have just been so many young people. People from all skin colors.
Absolutely. This is an incredibly diverse group.
It is. And the energy in the young folks, because, you know, young folks are the future. All you see and hear on television is how the young folks are embracing Bernie Sanders and they're being mind-numbed in their college classes. And we know that there's a lot of that going on. In Colorado, we have Colorado Christian University, Hillsdale College, TPUSA with Charlie Kirk and Candace Owens going on those college campuses. And the problem, the reason the left freaks out, is because when young people hear the message of freedom and choice and success and opportunity, it's part of our human nature. We love those messages. So tell me about you. I don't usually ask a lady your age, but I think your youth is important here. So if you don't mind, how old are you?
It's okay. I'm 23.
23 years old. And when did you found? I met you at that same Tea Party rally at one of the receptions.
One of my first speeches,
was it?
Yeah, absolutely. I founded Young Americans Against Socialism. We're a 501c3 nonprofit organization. We're nonpartisan as well, so we're just trying to focus on fighting against the scourge of socialism and how my generation seems to love it. I'm glad you actually mentioned the word choice. I was asked yesterday in an interview if you could choose one word to, you know, explain what your values are all about and win over people your age, what would it be? And I would choose choice, because we are truly all about choosing for your own life and having that power to choose for you and your family. I think the Democrats are only pro-choice with your reproductive system. That's about it. And
yeah.
Well, I started YAS, and I met you at the Tea Party rally, but that was one of the first things I ever did. We make educational videos on social media about the dangers and the history of socialism, and it exploded in August 2019. We've been on the road ever since.
Incredible.
Speaking on college campuses, making more videos, filming stories of people who have lived through socialism. We're working really hard.
You're obviously very smart. You're young. You're attractive. You're charismatic. People are drawn to you here.
Thank you.
So why this? I mean, this seems like of all the things in the world, a young woman with the whole world in front of her and all of this opportunity and talent, What was the thing that touched your heart to think that this is an important direction for your young life?
Well, I mean, this is something that's important to call out. People see me, and I have a lot of followers on Instagram, and I do these big speeches, and I do a lot of media hits, and they have this idea of you know, a pundit or a commentator. And really, I was just an average American that saw the statistics about November 2018 when AOC was elected. I was shocked that she was elected. I was shocked that she had so much support nationally. Everybody was like, oh, my God, she is just the darling of the Democratic Party, and she's a true socialist, same with Bernie Sanders. But around the same time she was elected, a Gallup poll came out and said 58%, a majority of people my age would choose socialism over capitalism for the future of the country. And I was baffled. I truly was, I couldn't comprehend that that was a thing. I mean, I thought everybody knew socialism was bad, and so I did a lot of research into how we got here.
What was it about your education that had you at least have a perspective on
that? Well, I knew the basics of history, but I did not know this from my own classroom experience. My dad's a colonel in the Army. My mom is a huge, huge, passionate American. She loves conservatism, and they raised me watching the History Channel and being educated on my own. I think when we failed our kids in the classroom by not teaching them about socialism and the value of capitalism and freedom, we also failed our veterans, and that's what I said on the stage yesterday when I spoke on the main stage. I said we failed our veterans too because they put their lives on the line so that generations to come of Americans could have a free, prosperous, fair country. And that's all put on the line now by my generation embracing socialism of all things. Like, are you kidding me?
It's such an important point that you make for parents to... I grew up in a time where it was just kind of assumed that, you know, you turned your kids over to the public school system and everything was fine. They learned to count and their ABCs and a little bit about, you know, U.S. history and world history and got them ready to go. That's not the way it is anymore. There are, and probably wasn't even back when I was, because the infiltration of Hollywood and entertainment in our schools has been going on for 90 or 100 years. We've just been blind to it until recently. But parents can make that difference. You were a public school student?
I was. And I want to call out one thing, because I'm not saying, you know, we failed our kids completely in terms of the history class and the economics classes and civics classes. But one thing was not made clear to students in the American classrooms. And I'll keep it straight. We learned about Castro. We learned about Lenin, Mao Zedong, Stalin. We learned about these bad men. But we were not taught, and the connection was not made in the classroom, that these men came to power as socialists who were going to champion the working people and fight for the working man and woman, and they were going to promise a free and fair and moral society through socialism.
And then 100 million people died.
Exactly. Once they implemented those socialist Marxist policies, it turned to communism, it turned into a dictatorship with those outcomes that we learned. And so now when we're in 21st century American politics, we hear those same kind of promises, but we aren't able to get red flags popping up in our mind because that connection wasn't made in the classroom when we were supposed to be learning that. And that's what I think is lacking the most in the American classroom.
But the point you made about your folks is that they were there to help add that missing piece, the piece that was missing from your public school education, to at least allow you to be open to having that light go on when you heard AOC all of a sudden become the superstar. That's fantastic.
Yeah,
my kids were public school trained as well, but man, I'm a lawyer, so it was real easy when the school board would say, you know, we want to medicate your son or something like that to run interference. But parents have to do that. You cannot turn your kids over to the state and expect a very good outcome.
Exactly. It starts at the kitchen table. That's what I think.
Absolutely. And you couldn't have been a better fit for this particular CPAC, because this is freedom versus socialism. That's the whole theme of the thing.
Oh, my goodness. It was an honor. They invited me to be on main stage, and I specifically talked about the tactics that the left is using now that are mimicked because they've been used before in socialist movements throughout history. One thing I always talk about, Che Guevara and Fidel Castro came and they stormed to Havana on their communist revolution in Cuba, and they would win over the support of peasants by saying, you see those evil rich people over there down the road? They have all that money and land and resources and animals, and it's not fair that you don't have what they have. We just took their animals, and here you go. You can have them. This is just a little taste of what it's going to be like. Give us more power. Join our movement, and we will give you even more. So we don't really barter with land with animals anymore in the 21st century, but what we do have is 45 million younger Americans experiencing student loan debt, and not just, you know, 5 years of debt, paying it off. I'm talking decades of paying paying $1,000 a month of student loans, and they feel trapped. So Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, they're all saying, you see those evil rich people on Wall Street and those millionaires and billionaires? It's not fair or moral that they have that kind of money. Give us power, and we will use government force to take it from them and give it to you. And so they're training my generation to support the idea of wealth redistribution, and that's why it's so important to have that knowledge of history so that the red flags can go up when we hear those utopian promises and talking points.
Talking with 24-year-old Morgan Zegers, the founder of Young Americans Against Socialism. Her website is fightsocialism.org, fightsocialism.org, a great place to go. How did you get connected with CPAC? Did they actually reach out to you? Now, I know I've tried to connect you with Michelle Malkin and Jenny Beth Martin, Tea Party Patriots. We were all together there with her. It's amazing, isn't it, how those connections can just start to blast out?
Absolutely. And I said the Tea Party Patriots are doing a really great project documentary on young people fighting socialism. It's coming out later this year. And I don't know how much they've
the
exposed about it.
I was with the filmmaker yesterday.
Yeah, they came to my home yesterday and a few weeks ago, and they filmed. They got to see me walk with the dogs that I have, my hunting dogs, out in the woods, and we talked about the actual tactics we can use to show my generation the truth about socialism. So I'm excited.
What would be your kind of concluding message to any young people who might get their hands on this podcast from CPAC 2020, America versus Socialism? You've described how Bernie and Elizabeth and others are trying to entice them. What's your message to make them think that maybe there's not only another way, but a better way?
Yeah. Well, first of all, the one thing we need to focus on and be aware of is that the biggest lie in American politics today is that Bernie Sanders' democratic socialism, just socialism, first of all, doesn't exist, and it will not make us like Denmark. That's the biggest lie. When Bernie Sanders tells young Americans his socialism will make us like Denmark, get it in everybody's minds that Denmark is capitalist. They have big government programs and high taxes, but at the end of the day, they rely on a capitalist backbone to create the wealth to pay for those programs. Yeah. And they can barely pay for those programs, but that's a different conversation. Yeah. And so if younger Americans and older Americans understood that lie from Bernie Sanders, we'd be able to move forward as Republicans and Democrats with common sense capitalist solutions. Unfortunately, this socialist argument is really taking away from our ability to have more meaningful conversations and find real results for the American people and talk about the actual issues. So I hope we can all move forward on that. If you have any young people out there, or if you are a young person and want to educate yourself and learn more about this, fightsocialism.org. We have all of our videos categorized by capitalism videos, socialism, and of course we have some really great interviews with people who have escaped socialism and come to America to live in capitalism. And we're just really thankful that they would tell their stories. So please go and watch those videos.
They're terrific. PragerU is using videos in a powerful way. And I chair a large Tea Party group in Colorado. I'm involved in the Republican Party in Colorado. And typically, you know, most of the meetings are still the gray-haired folks who are essential. They know
absolutely.
They know
they've
how
been
it works.
For
yes.
all this. They've been here before we got here, and I'm thankful for that.
And the thing I learned, because I came on the scene as a Tea Party activist, and so I was ready to bust up everything about the Republican Party. And, you know, you learn over time that you instead of blowing up relationships, you have to build relationships and persuade people over time. But it's still the older generations who are getting involved. Do you have any suggestions for folks like me who have the ability to, you know, get meetings together, get speakers or whatever to come in, to reach out to that younger generation and find something that excites them and has them to show up and kind of get into the position to take over when the time comes?
Well, I think Saul Alinsky, he talks about, you know, use your opponent's tactics. And the left, they love, and especially my generation, we love talking about finding affordable healthcare solutions, talking about how we can protect our planet and our environment, and of course, solving the student loan crisis. And so I want conservatives and people on the right and moderates to champion those three issues and show my generation that we care about those issues too, because right now, the far-left utopian promises and policies of Bernie Sanders are dominating the conversation, and I'm sick of a bunch of city slickers telling younger Americans that they're the ones who care more about the environment and that the country, men and women across America, don't care about the planet. I mean, I literally live on a mountain in upstate New York. My dad's birthday was last month, and he asked for an apple tree because we have an orchard and we grow our own food. We love the environment. We love taking care of it, but the left continues to push this message that Republicans and conservatives don't care about the planet. And I hope we can, you know, take control of that narrative and turn it, flip it on its side, and show that we have solutions to protecting our planet too.
If you're not on social media, get on social media. You can follow Morgan Zegers on Twitter. It's her name, Morgan, Z-E-G-E-R-S, Morgan Zegers. A Facebook page by the same name.
Yep.
The website is fightsocialism.org, fightsocialism.org. Could you have believed from the west steps of the Capitol to a main stage speaker at CPAC less than a year, Are there politics in your future? Do you prefer to be a spokesperson? What do you see the next? Have
I
you
see this,
even planned?
My fight for freedom. I just want to be involved in the movement and help and contribute educational content in any way I can. I love what I do. I'm so thankful my passion is my profession.
It's terrific.
Thanks for having me.
I want to make sure you get in there, so I'm going to go ahead and let you slip. Thank you so much for coming. I really enjoyed meeting you last year, and I know you've got plenty of things to do, so thanks for stopping by.
Thanks so much.
And Adam, before we go to the break, we've got a great couple minutes of audio from Diamond and Silk when they were here on the main stage. Let's go ahead and give everybody a taste of CPAC 2020, and then come back to me before we go to break.
Socialism is nothing but another form of slavery.
That's all it is.
It is.
That's all it is.
Then we look at Bernie Sanders.
Bernie?
No, don't boo him.
No.
He keep talking about a revolution, and he don't want to look like he's still stuck in the Revolutionary
War. That's right. He's still stuck there. Uh-huh.
Trying to buy votes by enticing people with free stuff.
Uh-huh.
That ain't going to work.
It's not going to work.
Instead of giving people free stuff, how about you go give them a job?
J-O-B.
Just give them a job.
Uh-huh.
But Bernie Sanders, he can't create no jobs.
Why he can't?
He ain't never had one. He ain't never had no job. And when I look at Bernie Sanders and his socialistic ideas, it reminds me of the initials of his first and last name, Silk.
Yes.
Straight BS.
That's right.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Let me tell you something. People that came from other socialistic countries didn't flock to our country to obtain more socialism.
Uh-uh.
They come here to America to obtain the American dream.
That's right. That's right. Yes.
Mm-mm-mm. See, I'm reminded by the late, great James Brown.
Uh-huh.
I don't want nobody to give me nothing. Open up the doors, and I'll go get it for myself.
That's right, baby. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Woo!
I don't want your crumbs just to make a crumb cake.
That's right.
How about you give us our own ingredients?
Uh-huh.
And we can make our own cake.
That's right.
And if we're going to keep America great,
uh-huh,
we need more free thinkers instead of freeloaders.
That's right. Oh. Yes.
And if you are a freeloader,
uh-huh,
we need you to get up off your seat and do nothing.
Do nothing.
And go get you a job.
A J-O-B. That's right. Yeah. Yes.
Free stuff does not equal freedom. We're going to have no freedom, somebody giving you something.
That's right.
Just a taste of CPAC 2020, America versus Socialism, live from the Gaylord Center, not far from the swamp, although it's not very swampy around here today, just a whole lot of energy, people who are so excited. Got real quiet. I thought maybe they were going to lock down the rooms for the president's arrival. He's scheduled to speak here at 1 p.m. Denver time, 3 p.m. local. And things get awfully quiet when that happens. But there's back to some buzz, and I do see people going in and out. So fingers crossed that we got Morgan back in. I do want to tell you that we are live and local, and we will spend our regular Saturday visit with Jim Paff, the chief of staff for the Republican House minority in the Colorado State House, get an update on legislation, a great success that happened this week that I want to tell you about. And then Weld County Sheriff Steve Reams is going to join us. Of course, he's the leader of the Sanctuary County movement against the obnoxious, immoral, and unconstitutional red flag law that passed and started implementation January 1st. I think we've had about 19 red flags in Colorado. And Sheriff Reams was red flagged this week. We'll hear all about that later in the final hour of the show. But when we come back, I am joined by author, U.S. Navy veteran, retired New Jersey detective John Minella. His book, Common Sense Revisited, How the Left Has Bamboozled America. It's a number one bestseller. He'll be with us next on 710 KNUS.
News Talk 710 KNUS, live from CPAC 2020, is presented by Bandamere Speedway, home of the Dodge Mile High NHRA Nationals, July 17th to July 19th. Go to Bandamere.com for tickets. Now, live from our nation's capital, here's Randy Corcoran.
Or if you want to be picky, we're actually in Maryland, but we are close enough to the swamp that you can feel it. And it is so cool to be at a place that really, top to bottom, side to side, is committed to draining that swamp, to re-electing the President of the United States, to keeping the opportunity of these so very positive policies that have been implemented over the last 3.5 years to keep moving forward. Remember, this president has been under constant attack, constant assault, constant investigation. One man against 90% of the news media, one man against the entire deep state, and he continues to win, win, win. And when you see the energy around here and the people who are, you heard from Morgan and others that we've talked to today, people who've seen the president multiple times, can't get enough of this guy. And it is not a cult of personality, although I've come to love the way he deals with the left and his enemies. It is a cult of performance, and we don't want to do anything to mess that up as we head into 2020. So thank you, Democrats, for bringing us Bernie Sanders. Thank you, Democrats, for having a clown car full of Democrat presidential nominees. It's a joke. We got to take it seriously. We got to work like we're 10 points behind every single day. But I'm walking out of here as optimistic as I've been this entire run-up to this election season, because there are activated people ready to go back to work. So glad to have you along. 303-696-1971 if you want to try and squeeze in. We'll do some local talk in the final hour of the show, as things probably dry up here on Radio Row anyway, because they'll be locking things down for the president's arrival. But I'm so grateful that our next guest dropped by. His name is John Minella, and a retired New Jersey detective, military veteran. You've got a best-selling book out right now, and it's fascinating because it's called Common Sense Revisited. So you took a look at Thomas Paine and I guess kind of updated. And one of the things you told me off air that made me like you already is that you're good friends with David Webb. So let me tell you my David Webb story. Did get a chance to talk to him a little bit earlier in CPAC, didn't have him on the air. But one of my relatives was murdered at the Kansas City Jewish Center when the white supremacist killed a doctor and his grandson. The doctor was my one of my oldest cousins. And I was doing a little radio show on a different station, and it felt so powerless. I didn't know what I was going to do to try and just help my ailing family. And we learned that the Westboro Baptist Cretans were going to be protesting the funeral of my Christian brother killed by a Jew-hating white supremacist looking for Jews at the Jewish Center. These Westboro folks were going to protest. And so I started reaching out to everywhere I could think of to get on the air and try and put a call out for Patriot Guards and other bikers and other support systems to show up. And when I got to that funeral in Overland Park, Kansas, there were 500, 600 motorcyclists there. There were people lining the streets. Some of that was going to happen anyway. The community came out big for my fallen family members. But David Webb put me on his nationally syndicated show. Sean Hannity's folks helped get the word out. I mean, it was incredible how people come together around a tragedy like that. And David came up really, really big. So I've always been a big fan because he's really a good guy. Welcome to Denver and welcome to the show.
Thank you, Randy. Thank you for having me here.
You bet. Give a quick bio, more than what I've said, and then we'll jump into this book.
Well, I retired from the police department in 2016. I came down to Florida because my father had actually gotten Alzheimer's, and he recently passed. And kind of piggybacking off what you said, the Patriot Guards were just phenomenal. They came out. I had a military service for my father. He was a Navy vet as well. They came out. They did the whole motorcycle thing. They coordinated with the police department. It was very special.
I'm a Harley rider, and one of my goals in life as I try and slow down maybe my professional life a little eventually is to patch into the Patriot Guard. I'd love to ride around and stand up for our veterans.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, you bet. So Common Sense Revisited. David Webb wrote the foreword or the preface in here.
Yes.
What's this book about, and why would people want to go find it?
Well, as I say towards the beginning of the book, just as Thomas Paine utilized the original common sense to open the eyes of the colonists to expose the tyranny of King George III, so shall this book open the eyes of the masses that have been lulled to sleep by the D.C. elite, the mainstream media, and the Hollywood elite. And that's really the preface, the premise of this book.
And the education elite.
Yes.
For our young folks.
Absolutely.
I don't think you were here yet when Morgan was here, the founder of Young Americans Against Socialism. But it's very, very exciting to see people of that 24-year-old young woman who's now dedicating her life to spreading the message among younger folks. The thing I like about your book is it's not daunting to look at. It's not a thick opus where people are going to go, gosh, I don't know if I have all summer. This is a book that could be read in what, maybe hour or so, hour and a half?
If that.
Yeah, probably less than that.
I made it that way on purpose because I want people to really get the meat and potatoes of what I'm trying to convey here.
Sure.
You know, as an example, one of the things I say in the book, the left has very purposefully designed terminology that we've just accepted into our culture. That's actually built in, has a built-in mechanism to demonize you if you don't agree with them. That's what they do, very craftily.
Yeah. Rules for radicals, marginalize, insult.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Look at one of the things I talk about, the Fairness Doctrine. Now, on the surface, if you
sounds good.
Sounds good. Sounds fantastic.
Sounds fair.
If you don't agree with it, you're a horrible person.
Right.
Until you read the fine print.
Right.
Now, we all know, but for those of you who don't, the Fairness Doctrine was designed for one thing and one thing only, to take conservative talk shows off the air. And it basically said if a conservative host has 3 hours a day, so a liberal host has to have 3 hours a day. Problem is, if the liberal host doesn't have the sponsors because they don't have the audience, and the sponsors pull out and the liberal show goes off the air, the conservative show has to go off the air.
Sure.
And it was really designed to get rid of Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh and any other conservative talk show host, but this was an Obama pet project, and he just didn't like the fact that somebody was countering his lunacy.
Without a doubt, and it's been proven that these liberal shows can't make it. They don't get the sponsors. They go bankrupt. The liberal national networks that came out in talk radio, Al Franken and others, you know, became hosts for a while. They couldn't make any money. People don't want to hear the crap.
No, it's lunacy.
Yeah.
You know, I say this in a joking around way, so please don't take me seriously. But I always joke around. I say this started in 1963 when Lyndon Johnson took over after Kennedy was assassinated. Unbeknownst to everybody, he launched a missile over the atmosphere of the United States, and it dispensed stupid gas. And it affected 50% of the population, hence your liberals.
Yeah.
The 50% it didn't affect are your conservatives.
Well, it's interesting because Kennedy couldn't possibly be a member of the current Democrat Party.
No, not at all. And to speak of that, and this is one of a point I've been bringing out while I've been down here at CPAC. We've been convinced that the Democratic Party of today is not the same Democratic Party from our grandfather's day. That's what we all accept. And I argue the point that that's not true. It's never been a good party since its inception. So they'll have you believe it's only kind of skewed in the last 30 or 40 years or so. In fact, from the very beginning, these are the people who fought vehemently against the abolition of slavery, so much so that they actually considered abolishing slavery a radical idea. They created the KKK. They implemented Jim Crow laws. They voted unanimously against the Civil Rights Act. They created housing projects. This was a LBJ thing. Housing projects.
Great society, not so great.
Not so great. And he did it for the purpose of keeping minorities out of white neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Margaret Sanger is a person they embrace who looked to exterminate the black race. That's why she created Planned Parenthood. Woodrow Wilson, he resegregated the military.
Unbelievable.
So if you stop for a second and really pause, what's good about this party? They're nothing but evil people who are for oppression and big government. That's all they're for.
Thus the title, Common Sense Revisited.
Absolutely.
And I see it's available at tigerstormpress.com, tigerstormpress.com. Are there other easy ways for people to track this down?
Yes, you can go to the link getcsr.com, CSR meaning Common Sense Revisited. It'll bring you right to the Amazon link, and you can purchase purchase it there.
Well, thanks for leaving me a copy of the book. I promise you I will read it, and I'll reach out to you. We'll have you back when we can really talk about the substance of it.
Thank you so much, Randy.
John Minella, thanks.
Pleasure.
All right, let's get to our break now. When we come back, we'll spend a few minutes with Jim Paff on local politics. We do have Sheriff Reams coming up in the final hour of the show as well. He was red flagged. The sheriff of Weld County, the leader of the Sanctuary County movement, red flagged by a prisoner last week, should be a fascinating conversation. In the meantime, I hope you'll stick around. It's Wake Up with Randy Corcoran. It's 710 KNUS.